A weak solidarity Bricky team listener, when who'd want to be a giant resource company raking in trillions in obscene windfalls, super duper profits, with all the threats and barriers they have to confront? Like a government threatening them with a windfall, super duper obscene profits tax, or a price cap on the super duper obscene prices raking in those super duper obscene windfall profits? Who? Yet they battle on. Such is their concern to ensure the people they so care about can enjoy the energy they produce, altruistic to a fault. See, they point out a super-duper windfall obscene profits tax would dissuade them from investing, from exploring and extracting more gas, and create a shortage, and who wants that? Well, other than long-haired commie greedies who carry on that we should stop extracting gas and fossils altogether just because of a bit of unseasonal weather harbinging a few disasters, and they point out a price cap would dissuade them from investing, from exploring and extracting more gas and creating a shortage, and who wants that? Other than, well, we know who. The anti-caring business class socialists are proposing an $11 to $13 gas price cap, with those who know warning this would reduce the super-duper windfall obscene profits to mere super-windfall obscene profits, a blatant attack on a great industry. And the even more anti-caring business evil unions reckon an $8 to $10 cap would still allow super-obscene profits, but to prove the government and evil unions have no idea what they're talking about, the ever-sensible Woodside with pollution supremo, Mego Kneel Before Profits, described a tax or price cap as a black mark on government which would only exacerbate the issue. Poor Meg. The only answer is to produce more gas, she pointed out. One of the things that is important to us is fiscal stability. Meg stressed the obvious. A fiscal stability, Meg. Of course, we must have fiscally stable, super-duper obscene windfall profits. So the black mark government can't tax you and can't price cap you either. Exactly. Either would be a disaster for the whole country, which is all we care about. So what can it do? It can, it must, stop the anti-true blue Aussie, long-haired, greeny, commie, wooden-working and iron environmentalists getting in our way, getting in the way of progress. And coal, which like gas has made such a wonderful, such an invaluable contribution to our wild weather patterns, denied the soaring super-duper obscene profits they are charging, have anything to do with our soaring power bills. The Minerals Council promising a massive multi-trillion campaign if the government dares place a price cap or obscene profits tax on them. An unnecessary explanation, really, because only the most rabid, long-haired commie greenie would imagine there was some connection between coal giants charging super-duper obscene prices and our power bills, which is probably why they thought there was no need to explain the non-connection, knowing we'd take their word for it. One proud resource behemoth, Santos Us the Profits, did provide an explanation after dolphins were found belly up dead in a 25,000 litre oil leak Santos Us managed to spill 75K off the Pilbara coast. After a bit of denial, the company came up with its explanation after goody-goody interferers produced photos of dead dolphins in the oil slick. And the explanation? Santos Us's leak had absolutely nothing to do with the dead dolphins floating in its oil slick. Such a logical explanation should have been the end of it, but true to form for these interfering people, an academic mammal researcher raved that it would take a brave or foolish person to say how the dolphin seen near the oil died without undertaking a post-mortem. The fact the dolphins were seen dead and floating suggests a sudden death. Look, as far as the week that wasn't concerned, we trust Santos Us the Proper to tell us the truth, like it assures us its floating gas plant, opposed by Tiwi Islanders off northern True Blue Aussie, poses no threat whatever from something like, well, say, a 25,000-litre oil spill. And after the full bench of the federal court ruled in favour of the Tiwi Islanders last week, Both the government and the company said they would delay production and create further gas shortages. So we presume, with government support, they'll consult the Tiwi Islanders and tell them the project is going ahead whether they like it or not. After all, it's their law. The gas field is called Barossa, like the wine region. Maybe we could speculate because Santosas is certainly whining over those bloody interfering Tiwi Islanders. Although their concern that it could lead to a gas shortage. Maybe, but then they say the gas will be for export to South Korea and Japan to pollute those countries as well. If we didn't have such faith in the reliability of the industry, we might have thought, obviously falsely, that there could be some inconsistency. And brickbats to the Queensland, Most Gracious Majesty's Land Government, for its economic ignorance, boasting, mind you, it is raking in trillions because it still owns coal-fired power stations and generators, selfishly depriving its customers of the great benefits of privatisation that we're all lucky enough to enjoy. Customers cruelly seduced by little incidentals like cheaper bills and better service. This whole threatening picture summed up by a True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review deep-thinking commentator, deep-thinking people who know all about the delicate flower that is the economy, deep-thinking commentator under the headline, Why a Gas Price Cap Will Be a Disaster. Well, our proud resource industry has told us that, it's warned us. As an aside, 2 weeks ago, we commented on a very sensible letter to the editor from an East Brighton deep mind suggesting Her Majesty's Theatre should be changed to His Majesty's. Most important issue. Well, why don't we start a week that was campaign for Queensland to become Kingsland? It's the least we could do for King Big Ears. Sadly, there's an even bigger threat to the environment and attempts to increase renewable energy. Wages. Bloody wages. It's always the way, isn't it? Caring employers have warned that multi-employer agreements, which could force them to pay wages, would drive up the costs of renewable energy projects and put power prices up even higher, or even thwart investment altogether. But on a positive side, to confirm caring employers' sincerity when they declare they want wages to increase, some sceptics actually doubt their sincerity based on nothing more reliable than the history of capitalism. To confirm, caring employers have attacked recent wage increases as grossly inadequate. One said a 15% increase was insulting and called for substantial increases after aged care workers were awarded a 15% increase. The evil unions had asked for a 25% increase. Aged care caring employers said the 15% was insulting and called for the 25%. See, they care. And childcare caring employers also called for substantial wage increases for their workers. And again, only the most cynical would suggest their conversion on the road to the Fair Work, True Blue Aussie, No Longer Work Choices Just Looks Like It con mission has anything to do with the small fact that the government will pick up their wages bill, leaving them to pocket the profits. Another minor fact that other caring employers aren't nearly as profligate and indeed argue any increase would destroy the economy should not be used to suggest these caring employers are not sincere when they say they'd just love to see wages rise, but not just yet. The time is not right. The win-win advantage of contracting work out and sacking or, sadly having to let go your workforce were highlighted on our telly screens as we saw the airline, which used to be our airline's passengers' luggage, being thrown around by labour hire casual workers. Win-win. For the airline, which used to be, bottom line, and the caring labour hire employer. Perhaps not quite so win-win for the passengers and the sadly let go workforce. Former minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, Alexander, has joined the chorus line proffering advice and his renowned wisdom to the poor, beleaguered, caring business class party. It must boldly articulate its timeless values, Alexander advised. And here were we thinking that was the problem. Former big Supremo Scuttleman Moore Lashstad, a.k.a. ScoMo, said there were two problems as he defended himself over taking over heaps of portfolios from his clearly incompetent colleagues. One, he would have admitted he had signed himself in as Minister for Just Everything if the media had just asked him. Right, there, so it's the media's fault. We assume they didn't ask him, mainly because they didn't think there was a need to. And two, the censure motion was a retrospective political attack for blatant political purposes. It's the most blatant retrospective political attack since we spent millions on a Royal Con mission to stitch up little Billy Shorten Ambition and Julia Gallinghard and the evil unions. Hard as it is to believe, a survey showed he became the most unpopular big Supremo since these surveys began. And it's not like there's not plenty of worthy competition. Most unpopular over little matters like truth and integrity. How would people have got that impression? Oh, and addressing the economy, little matters like inflation and interest rates, the caring business class big economics shadow guru Angus Tailings warned it was critical we solve the problems. It really is. It really is. He's taken lessons from former big Supremo little Johnny Howhard. Anyway, it really is. It's been critical for months we get a solution. Months? Wonder why Angus didn't say years. That new Indonesia and other people's business law banning sex outside marriage. God, if that applied in True Blue Aussie, there'd be about five people not in jail. And the cells would be so crowded, who knows what they'd be getting up to, so to speak. On the positive side, yet another excuse to build more and more prisons run by the private sector. Although, who'd be guarding them? Because it's almost certain the screws, no pun intended, and the, forces of law and order would be in there with everyone else. Finally, those with hex debts are complaining that with high inflation, their debts are increasingly increasing as the government insists they must rise by the CPI inflation rate. So, we ask big Supremo Anthony Albanese, that means their incomes, the price of labour, will also rise by the inflation rate? As the Reserve Bank Governor has so wisely made clear, that would be an economic disaster, creating a wage price spiral. True Blue Aussie workers, whom I am here to support, understand that. So, we're just left with a price spiral. Good morning.